Good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
Turn to someone and tell them you are a magnificent being. You are a magnificent being. Yes. Do you really feel that? Do you know that within your heart of hearts, how magnificent we are? The Bible says that we are wondrously and gloriously made. Sometimes we have to remember just how magnificent we are. And the reason we're magnificent is because we have the ability to magnify the presence of God that indwells us. And when you do that, you become magnificent. Not of your own power, but because it is the power and presence of God flowing in and to and through you. So that others look at you and say, "Ooh, look at that magnificent being." They look at you and see your light and say, "Ooh, look at the light of God at work." Don't you want somebody to have that expression when they come into your being? "Woo, woo, so bright," you know? That means we have to know it within ourselves. And we have to then know it and show it. We have to know who we are and begin to live and show our magnificence. This is an exciting time, I believe. It's a turbulent time, but it's an exciting time. Now, as I was thinking about my message for this morning and all that's coming up with the meditation, you know, May being the National Meditation Month, that May 1st starts this whole month of meditation. And I was thinking about the 1st of May because it has so many other meanings. It also has a lot of meanings attributed to the 1st of May. So if I can, I'm going to give you a little history review of what happens on the 1st of May. Is that all right? Okay. So because somebody said this, that May 1st has the most holidays and celebrations associated with its date. All right, so there are many things that take place on May 1st. Now, this one says, and you know, I always go out and search King Google. The monks at the university say, call it Lord Google. Go and check Lord Google out. So everything you find on the internet may not necessarily be true, but you know, you got to check and verify your sources. But this is what it says. The earliest May Day celebrations are thought to have occurred during the Roman era, when youths would celebrate the coming of spring with a day of dancing dedicated to the goddess Flora. And then it said that some Roman Catholics, Catholic organizations celebrate the Virgin Mary on May 1st with what they call a May crowning of the Blessed Virgin. So they probably put flowers or whatever, something. The May crowning, I thought that's sweet. In the 16th century, maypoles were erected by a group of villagers in a symbol of community bonding. And then it says, though there was a fierce source of inter-village rivalry. I thought that was cute because here they are, they're erecting maypoles in a spirit of community bonding, but then all the communities would be in competition with each other. You remember the maypole? And then I may be dating myself, and that's okay. But when we were in school, we used to have maypoles on May 1st, and we would dance around, and you'd twist a little thing. I don't know if they do that anymore. But that wasn't celebrated. But they said it was in celebration of spring. I never knew what it was for, but anyway, we enjoyed taking the ribbons and weaving it around the maypole. Okay? And politically, it also, May 1st carries a lot of political energy as well, because it is also called the International Workers' Day in England, where there were protests that started on the 1st of May, and they were protesting for an 8-hour working day. Because don't forget, you know, we think 8 hours, we work 8 hours a day and we have weekends off, but that wasn't always the case. Children were working, everybody was working. You might have been working 14, 15, 16 hours a day, your employer could have you. So there was some protest around that started on May 1st. And and a lot of fighting up until in the 1890s, the early 1900s. And some of these groups are still in existence today. In England, they have what they call the May 1st is an International Banking Day, where so it's the Workers' Day, and it's also International Banking Day. And then there are also groups who, even to this day, use May 1st as a day for protest. And I read recently that, the Occupy movement is planning to do some things on May 1st. And so it carries, whether it's celebration or whether it's protesting, and now we have meditation attached to May. I like that one. But we've got meditation. May 1st, or the 1st of May, carries a lot of energy around that date. And so as I was thinking about this launching of the Meditate the Vote on May 1st, in the month of May, all of a sudden I found myself saying, May Day, May Day, May Day. And you know how the mind works. It's just weird that I would think that, but I was thinking May 1st, May Day, and then all of a sudden I said, May Day, May Day, May Day. And of course I began to wonder, well, now where did that thought originate? Where did that come from? So I went to King Google again, and I wanted to see, where did May Day come about and how? And it got its start as an international distress call in 1923, and it was made official in 1948. But it was the idea of a gentleman named Frederick Markford, who was a senior radio officer at an airport in London. And he came up with the idea, it says, for May Day, because it sounded like the French word May Dear, which I think is, I don't know if I'm saying it, but I took Spanish and not French, but it's M-A-I-D-E-R, May Dear. Right? And which means in French, help me. Or it means come and help me. And so he thought that, this would be a way, working in the airport, if planes or ships or whatever were in distress, that they needed some kind of call over the radio to notify people that they were what? In distress. Right? And so he came up with this May Day, and it's become an international, wherever you are, if you call that phrase May Day, people know what? You need help. Right? You want somebody to come and help you. And they said that if you're in extreme distress, you are supposed to repeat that call 3 times. So you just don't say May Day so somebody gets confused that maybe you're talking about May Day. But when you say it 3 times, May Day, May Day, May Day, they know that it is a call for distress. And I thought, how many of us have been in situations or had times when you found yourself saying, Lord, help me, right? Or Lord, come and help me. We've all had those experiences and times when we have been in what? Extreme distress, right? All of us have had those experiences. And this is what I know, that when we have this time of extreme distress, that there is a call we can put out. Because if I don't know anything else, I know that whenever I have had the experience of being in distress, I have put out a spiritual May Day call. Amen. A spiritual May Day call to God. And here's the thing. The amazing thing is that whenever I have come from that deep place, you know, that deep place of deep need, the amazing thing is that God has always heard my cry. God has always heard, because it's something different. Just like when a child, like a mother knows when that baby's crying, when it's a distress cry, or when it's a hungry cry, or when it's just come pick me up and play, I'm bored cry. But they know when there's a distress cry, even in the animal kingdom, right? They know that there's a certain cry, there's a certain thing that alerts people. So when I put out that spiritual May Day, it's that God is always there and always present to help me. Now, what I am learning to do is to not to turn to God as a last resort, but as a first responder, right? As a first responder, because think about it, a first responder is one who is on the scene, what? First, right? They hear the call and they respond immediately. A first responder comes offering help and assistance, first aid, offering guidance and direction and support for whatever is needed at that time. And I began to think, well, there can be no greater first responder than God, right? Than God. And so I want to be able to seek that presence of God first and foremost. Because so often, friends, we wait until we're in extreme distress before we actually seek God's presence. We wait until we're in a place of weak helplessness before we then, it dawns on us, well, let me go to God. Let me seek God. It's when I have no other choice. There's nothing else I can do. See, but I'm learning not to get to that point. You see, I don't want to get to that point because I want to know that God is the first response that I'm going to make. I'm going to turn to God first for my guide, for my situations, for my circumstances, everything that I need. So, because there's some promises that I've been made, that have been made to me and made to you by God in terms of the support we might need in any situation. I have a little book. I wanted to read some of these scriptures. This is from, it's called the Bible Promise Book. And these are some scriptures that I absolutely love. And I'll read a few. This one is from Psalms 46, verse 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I love that word. It's a present help. I don't have to wait. I don't have to think, well, where is God? A very present help, meaning the moment I breathe, God, the presence of God is right there. And it says, therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. God is my help, my strength, my reference, my very strength, and a very present in times of trouble. Psalm 138, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. And remember, when we say enemies, we're talking about enemies, your enemies. You don't have to worry about the enemies out here. You need to worry about the enemies in here, right? Okay. So against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. And in Psalms 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. That's a powerful one. I love those. I love those. And here are some other ones that are two of these that are my favorite. I had some more in here, but I wanted to read these two favorite ones that I share. This one is from Isaiah. Isaiah 41, verses 10. And it says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. And then in verse 13, for I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, I, the Lord your God. And I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. That's a powerful one. And then I searched for this one because I couldn't remember where it was, but I know I have quoted it. This is from Joshua verses 1 through 9. And Moses was leading the Israelites, and Moses has just died. And the Israelites, as you know, were trying to come through the wilderness. They had a long journey. Now Moses, their leader, has died. And Joshua is put in his place. And Joshua's not like sure what I need to do. What do I need to do with all these people? How am I going to get them to where they need to be? Who am I to do all this? And he goes on and on and on. So this is what God says to Joshua. And this is, I'm reading from the New Living Translation first. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave or left. You neither deviate from them, turning neither to the right or to the left. Then you'll be successful in everything that you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, I like to read it also from the Message. And it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of God, God spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Get going. Cross the Jordan River, you and all the people. And I love the way he says, okay, look, God, Moses, my first, he's dead. Okay? That ship has sailed. He said to Joshua, well, because sometimes we get stuck. He said, get going. Okay, we acknowledge that, but you need to get going. You can't be looking back. Don't worry about what happened in the past. Moses did a great job, but now the journey must continue. Get going, okay? So he says, because you got a work to do. So all this stuff is that we have a work to do. Then he says, cross to the country I'm giving to the people, Israel. Cross to the country I'm giving to the people. I'm giving you every square inch of the land you set your foot on, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon to the east and to the great river, the Euphrates River, and all the Hittite country. And then to the west, to the great sea. It's all yours. All your life, no one will be able to hold out against you. In the same way that I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. Strength, courage. You're going to lead this people to inherit the land that I promised to give their ancestors. Give it everything you have, heart and soul. Make sure that you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded you. Every bit of it. Don't get off track, either left or right, so as to make sure you get to where you're going. And don't for a minute let this book of the revelation be out of mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going and you will succeed. And haven't I commanded you? Strength, courage. Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step of the way. Now, I like to read this particular one sometimes because sometimes on my little journey, I might get a little discouraged from time to time. Or I might start looking to the left and I might start looking to the right when the road is before me. And I have to remember, don't get distracted. Don't get discouraged. But you keep your eyes focused and walk the journey that God has called you to, because God is with you, Sylvia, every step you take. See, that's, we have to remember that sometimes. Say, every step I take. Every step I take, God is with me. God is with me every every step I take, it is such a powerful thing, because what we have to understand is this is telling you that God has your back. God has our back in everything that we do. He's unfailable, right? Always present. Always, always present, and cares for us, is concerned about us, knows every little detail about our lives. In fact, God is simply waiting for you to show up. See, we're sometimes waiting for God. God's waiting for you to show up, and to show up in the right consciousness, and to show up in the right spirit. Right? Because we have to remember that we want to turn first. We have to be a first responder too. So we remember to turn first what to God. And when we do, then God responds. When you turn to God in distress, in times of trouble, when things aren't working out, when you've got all things happening working out against you, it's so it seems, you have to turn to God and go within. Now, when you do, you're going to be given guidance and instruction and first aid, right? And direction, all that you need, help and assistance, ideas, everything. But here's the thing. You must then find the courage to trust what you're given and then to take bold action as guided. Because it says in 2 Timothy verses 7, but God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we have to first recognize that we've been given a spirit of power. Meaning that we have been empowered from on high. Just like he called Moses and he called Joshua. Okay, Moses is done. You're it now. I'm giving you everything I gave Moses. I'm giving you power. I'm giving you strength. I'm giving you vision. I'm giving you everything you need to be successful. Now get going. So we recognize that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear or timidity, as it says in some scriptures, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we recognize first that we are empowered by God. We are enfolded with God's presence and God's power. We are imbued from on high, right? That's the nature. That's what we've been given. We have been imbued from on high. We've been created, in fact, in and through and with this divine presence, this divine power that indwells us. It indwells our heart, it indwells our soul, it indwells our being, our body, our mind. It's what gives us life, it gives us strength, it gives us vitality, it gives us energy, and it gives us spiritual power. That's how we've been created. And sometimes we forget who we are and whose we are and from whence we have come, okay? You didn't come from just your mama and your daddy. You come from God, the divine, the magnificent one. So if there is something before you that is a challenge, that is challenging you, you have to begin by knowing that within you lies the source of spiritual power. Because it said God didn't give you a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So you've got to start with knowing, I got spiritual power. I am backed by the power of God in everything that I do. I have spiritual power. I have the power, divine power, God's power to meet and face and overcome any situation if you meet it with God. So that's the first thing that we have to do, our first response, right? We remember to tap into the power of God within and we call it forth. After we call forth that power, we have to recognize we've been given also a spirit of love. These are the three things it says, power, love, and a sound mind. Some scripture says a mind that's strong, a strong mind. So we've been given a spirit of love. Now you think, well, why do I need love? Well, love is one of the greatest healing, harmonizing forces in the universe. Love is a transforming agent. Love can change any situation. It can change a cold heart. It can lift up a weak body. It can do several things because love is of God. The power of God also is the love of God. And so we've been given this ability to love. You can love your way through things. Not as a sentimental, oh, I just love it or whatever, but love as a spiritual force, as a force that will transform and transmute any situation that you direct this divine energy of love towards. I'm not talking about a mealy-mally love. I'm talking about God's love. You understand? Spiritual love, healing love, a healing vibration. It's a radical force. It's a radical energy, because that's what I had to remember when I was thinking about what was happening in the political arena and the candidates. I said, you know what? I need to send some radical love that way. I need to lay something else on them. I need to lay this power that has the ability to touch that mind and to touch that heart and turn it around. That's what God can do, to turn anything around. So we get love. Healing love, harmonizing, whatever the situation, love as a spiritual force has the ability to bring out what is best and what is needed. So, because the scripture says, perfect love casts out fear. Love and fear can't exist at the same time. So we know perfect love casts out fear. So this is what we've been given. Try it. It's radical. The last thing it says, we were given a sound mind. Or a strong mind. Now, oftentimes, other than being in physical distress or in being in harm's way, most of our distress is emotional and psychological, right? Now, there are times when we're in some physical thing where we need to get out, you know, we need to take care of the body and get out the way. But for the most part, most of our distress is emotional and or psychological. It is the result of us holding some inner dysfunction, some errant thoughts or feelings or attitudes or perceptions that we're holding in consciousness that is causing us distress. Now, we think it's this activity out here, but it's an inner experience. And if we were to examine what is really going on and examine our perceptions, we would see that really the perceptions are coming from our own distinction, our own naming, our own seeing, our own calling it such, right? Our own inner experience, which is good news, because if that's the case, we can also then alter that perception, alter those experiences by changing the way we're seeing it, changing the way we are speaking about it, changing the way we're holding it in consciousness. That's where your power lies. If you remember a few weeks ago, I talked about a teaching I was working with that says suffering is not in the fact, but in the perception about the facts. Suffering is not in the fact, but in the perceptions of the fact. Meaning, yes, we might have some initial incidents that causes us pain. But it is when we keep repeating the incidents in our mind that we are causing suffering. See, it's not that you won't have it. If I stick a pin, the pain hurts. Yes, it's there. But if I keep saying hours later, that was so painful, it hurt me, it hurt me, it hurt me. That's the suffering that I am causing through my own experience. So we are doing that. The incident happened already. It's done. It's over. Moses is dead. Get going. It happened. That situation has already occurred. Now I need you to be present with what you need to be about now. I need you to move forward now. Because when we keep the past alive in our minds and in our perceptions and in our self-talk, we are causing and creating more suffering. Distress is a signal. Mayday, mayday is a signal of distress. But distress is a signal for us that we have allowed our emotions and our thoughts and our feelings and our perceptions to get out of hand, or maybe to get stuck in mind. That's the signal. When you're in distress, you have allowed something to get stuck in your consciousness that's not serving you well. And when you, and if you should find yourself in those conditions, you need to put out a signal for a spiritual mayday call. Spiritual mayday, mayday. You need some help. You need help in consciousness. You need God to help you with the situation. But basically, it's you who needs to turn around your thinking, your feeling, your perceptions, right? It's the signal that you have to get your heart and mind right. You need your heart and mind right. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, right? But of power and of love and a sound mind, that love, the heart, the mind. You got to get the heart and mind in sync and in right. So we have to start with saying, all right, I'm going to start with the source of power, God. And then I'm going to call upon, as I use this power within me, I'm going to open up my heart, get my heart right so that I'm coming right at it within each situation. I'm coming right at it, right? I'm coming right with love for it. And then I'm going to get my mind in sync, all right, so that I can remember to go to the source, call God first, call upon for help, make it a habit to seek that first, that kingdom of God first, to seek that consciousness, to seek him in all things first as a first responder. And if you do this, if you begin to establish as your first response to every situation, be it, there's not to be a perilous one. It can be everything that you do. You're getting in your car, call forth God. You're coming into church, call forth God. You're going shopping, call forth God. Everything. Keep God present. Keep yourself in that vibration, and you'll find yourself in less trouble. You won't have to call upon it as much because you'll be what? In it. You'll be living it. You'll be experiencing, you'll have the consciousness of God. See, a consciousness you don't get with one thought. A consciousness means when that is with you constantly, that's your vibration. When you begin to build up the vibration of God's presence, you might not even have to say, God, come help, because it'll be there before you even ask. Before they call, I've answered. Right? Because your vibration, before you can even speak, the vibration for help and assistance is already out and already coming to you. It's powerful. So, since this meditation, since May is the National Meditation Month, I'm going to ask you to join with me and make a commitment to meditate every day for the entire month of May. Okay? Now, I am following a sadhana, which is a spirit, it's a Hindu word for a spiritual practice. And part of this practice is there is a phrase that they're asking us to affirm or to chant. And you chant it 108 times, but you were to do it 3 times a day. So I've been practicing. It takes me about a half an hour, maybe 24, 25 minutes to say this prayer and chant for 108 times. And 3 times a day, that means I have to meditate and affirm this for 3 times a day, which is about an hour and a half. I can do it in the morning, maybe at noontime, maybe before I go to bed. It is not a lot. You don't have to do anything for 108 times, but I'm just saying if you just make a commitment to meditate at all every day, that's enough. You see, because I've been doing this now, getting ready for this May sadhana to see how it feels and how it's going to work out. And I'm so excited because I know at the end of this month, there is going to be such a shift in my consciousness because it's already happened and I haven't even done a month. I've just been doing it for a couple of days and I can feel myself shifting and I haven't done it yet the 3 times. I've just done it, you know, half an hour each day. Wow. I guarantee you that if you make this kind of a commitment, just meditate. If you maybe 10 minutes, 5 minutes, if you are an ardent meditator, then meditate for half an hour or an hour, whatever is comfortable. I don't care if it's a minute, but I want the consistency, the commitment to do it every day for the month of May. How many of you would be willing to step up to that challenge? Now, don't raise your hand if you're not going to do it. Because we sign up and then don't show up. I want you to sign up and show up. This is about us stepping into our spiritual power. We need to be strengthened for the days ahead. We need to be strengthened for what is unfolding for us as light bearers to add our consciousness of peace and of truth and of being of a sound mind and grounded. We need to do this. So instead of May Day being a signal of distress, I'm going to use it as my calling card for God that says at the end, I will be too blessed to be stressed. Right? Say too blessed to be stressed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. That's the call. So what I would like for you to do is to get your heart and your mind ready and in sync and let yourself be a first responder to God, and God will respond to you. That's just the way that it works. So keep calm, keep peace in all that you do, and meditate your life. In the name and through the living, loving presence of the indwelling spirit that is you, that is God in you, I say, amen.
Amen.
Blessings. Namaste. Blessings. Namaste. Blessings.